What is up, Moncton? Welcome to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast. If you're a new listener, thanks. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. As always, I am your host, Adam. I am here with my two co-hosts, Mr. Jeremy Boucher.
Went out with the better half for some drinks last night. The bartender says, "Would you like a beer for your wife?" And I said, "Sounds like a fair swap."
It's not true, man. I know Megan. She's worth at least two.
She's a 10, though.
She is.
She's a dime. She's a dime.
That other voice you hear is our other co-host, Mr. Chris Dobson.
Fun fact of the day, a broken clock has the correct time twice a day.
He's not wrong. As well, tonight we are joined by our special guest and new sponsor of Cat of the Week, Eric Murray. He's realtor with Century 21 in the greater Moncton area. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
I'm nervous. We've got like actual people here tonight. I'm freaking out. Don't know what to do.
Always awesome, been a fan of foursomes.
Thank you for doing this. We really appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming.
What was that?
So always been a fan of foursomes.
Wait a minute. There's no. Oh, no. Yeah. Okay.
It's okay.
No, sorry. All right. Last Saturday, if you guys made it through that episode of fun, we'll call it.
What a debacle.
It's a different F word, but it's a episode of fun. We had a quick question about where would you put a CHL Hall of Fame? Jeremy, you weren't here. Eric, we'll get your thoughts on this as well. If you were going to put it somewhere in Canada, where would you put it? And just some names that you would put in that Hall of Fame class.
I would probably go with a neutral site. And if there was one to be, I guess, built or constructed, I would go with Humboldt, Saskatchewan.
Really? I saw somebody else make that comment online. And Adam, yeah. He was bang on it. Not that this is a shot at Humboldt, because obviously they've been through enough. But to put, no. And I appreciate your, no.
Yeah,
that's fine.
No, I mean, that's just great. But do you honestly believe, though, in a Canadian Hockey League situation, the CHL Hall of Fame should be in Humboldt, Saskatchewan?
Why not? Why is the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown? What's in Cooperstown? Absolutely nothing, except for the Baseball Hall of Fame.
All right.
I'll take your point.
Right? NFL, NFL's got the can.
It's the beauty part of opinions, right? But yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Humboldt has a hockey team, though. That wouldn't be the only thing in Humboldt, is my only argument.
Yeah, if
you're going to put a Canadian hockey, anyways.
If you put a Canadian hockey, it's a four season attraction.
Yeah.
Right. You're not wrong. How many people visit Humboldt a year?
I would go.
Look.
Why are you being so mean today?
I'm not being mean, man. And obviously, everybody knows what happened.
Can we stop recording?
Absolute tragedy. I'm out. Mic drop. No, and it is. And again, they've been through so much. And, you know, everybody's heart goes out to everything they've been through. But at the same time, to place a Hall of Fame there, I think, is a bit of a stretch. I do like your logic behind it. And you know what? That's probably the most intelligent response we got to the whole question. Because you're not the only guy who said that.
Can they move on if you just keep the, you know, they're once trying this, to move on, trying to get going.
Once this trial's over, which again is ongoing right now. Obviously I'm not going to give my two cents on it because it was devastating.
Yeah.
But it was devastating for everybody involved. Yeah. Like a lot of people are giving a hard time to the driver as well. And I mean, the guy's to live with that for the rest of his life, right? Like, anyways, bottom line is I hope when this is all said and done, the families get a little justice behind it all, obviously, you know, but overall, anyways, good answer. Sorry, kind of got off a little tangent there.
Okay,
Eric?
All good. I think it's going to be anywhere. I think you almost have to do Toronto and just kind of make it a wing of the Hockey Hall of Fame. But at the same time, it's a shame for the Q and for the WHL that another thing is in Ontario. Like it just seems like everything in Canada revolves around Ontario, and that'd be just another.
Well, it's center of the universe.
Yeah,
it makes the most sense to put it as a wing in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
I think Jordan Peckham said it too. I think it was him that said it. He said, you know, if you're going to put a CHL Hall of Fame somewhere, it's probably going to be in the mecca of the CHL, and that's in London.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you got the Knights. It would make sense to have it. But yeah, I mean, I like the ideas. I love putting it anywhere.
Yeah.
Why not just put it in the Avenir Center? Right.
We got a spot for it.
Yeah.
Do you have any names that we didn't mention?
As for the Western Hockey League, I'd probably go with my idol, Theo Fleury.
Beauty.
I think he's like top 10 all-time in Western Hockey League scoring. Ontario Hockey League, obviously there have been a lot of names that have come out of the OHL, but I'd probably go with the first player to ever get exceptional status, Mr. John Tavares.
Which you brought up. Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
And from the queue, you guys mentioned a lot of names, but I'll go with Mike Bossy.
Beauty. Good call.
Oh. Yeah.
Good call.
He played in the queue?
Sure did.
Totally thought he played in the O.
His real name is Michel Bossy.
Well, that would make sense.
It makes more sense. No, that's pretty much it. I think that you guys pretty much nailed it. You know, the Lemieux one is just probably the most
obvious recognized one. Yeah,
Tavares. You know, you just go through the list, but you know, you maybe like you said, Luongo for a goalie or stuff like that.
Marty Brodeur.
Marty.
So. And then in the dub, you've got Iginla, Niedermayer. Really, that whole Blazers team could go in.
Yeah.
That whole London Knights team could go in. So the other quick question I have for you guys, so with the prospects game last Wednesday, the NHL All-Star festivities this weekend, do you wish the Q had an All-Star game? Or why don't we? Or
that's kind of a mixture of two. So you have the top prospects game, which is the, you know, the best 17-year-olds, and then there's the Canada Russell Challenge, which is kind of like the QMJHL All-Star team.
Right.
Right.
All right. So it's, I'm pretty sure they used to have one. I think it might have been East against West. I'm not exactly sure. Or when they have actual, when they had actual conference names. But we already have what we want. Like, it's, if you want to watch a QMJHL All-Stars, watch the Canada Russia Challenge.
Right.
All right. Cool.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Just looking at it, I was like, waiting for a response.
I was like, no, I got nothing. So let's get to our Cats report. 26-17, 3-3 for 58 points. Fourth now in the division, ninth in the QMJHL, and seventh in the Eastern Conference, which puts us against Halifax in round one.
So where do you want to go with this train wreck?
We can recap the weekend if you want. I mean, it was the first time they put in 60 minutes effort. Just took two games to get 60 minutes.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to give, and I may be the only guy in the panel here tonight that's going to say this, and that is, I'm going to give them a bit of a pass for the weekend that just took place. And I'll tell you why. And that is, was I disappointed? Yes, because at both games, they could have won.
100%.
My issue is that this was Torchetti's first full week with this organization in regards to running practices, systems, doing everything he had to do. You go into a series like this, and I mean, unfortunately, they lost Jacob Hudson on Friday night. Cool. Who was out all weekend. That's a huge loss in your lineup.
Yeah.
Jonathan Aspero, still not on your blue line.
Do we have any idea on those two?
Officially, no, not yet. I was talking to a few people around the rink. Hudson could be out a little while, although he was very eager. He wanted to play Saturday. He's like, put me in a cage. I'm ready to
if
go.
There, yeah, if there's a guy that's going to put on a cage, but it's
unfortunately,
him.
Unfortunately, yeah. So, again, I don't know this for a fact. This is all speculation.
Yeah.
You hear rumblings around the rink when you're there, and people are like, oh, I heard he cracked something, or...
Didn't look good.
The picture looks bad. Yeah. The one that's like you put up.
Yeah. Cool.
Unreal.
Yeah.
As far as Aspero goes, I would assume you're going to hear a decision made this week on what's going to happen there because, you know, they had some success with some of the dental surgery, but then there was three lonely teeth that are giving a hard time right now. So they got to make a decision there on what they're going to do. You know, at some point, they're either going to let them play through it and they're going to go through the surgery now, you know, have them implanted or, you know, just let him run Brent Burns style for the rest of the year. Yeah. Like,
put on a cage if you even want that and go Brent Burns style.
Jeremy, you made a comment, and it was about Torchetti's press conference.
Yes.
And it was brilliant. I'm going to let you say it.
Oh, man, you're bringing this up right now, but I can't remember the quote, but he said, you're a good-looking team, but you're not going to be good-looking for much longer.
And then what happened?
So then Aspero loses three teeth. Hudson breaks his face. So it's
that's a break. Breaks
his face.
The stuff happens in three, by the way, if you didn't know. But yeah, so
I shouldn't say broke his face.
Going to get a full cage for the next game, I think. So.
They're going back to midget now. Everybody's going to be wearing their full cage. And
but as far as the games themselves, yeah. No. You know,
they just weren't in Sunday. Like they just
I have never in a long time, even that train wreck of a season Moncton had a couple years ago. I have never seen them put together a 20-minute effort like the first period we saw against Baie-Comeau. I've never seen anything like that.
It was unbelievable. It was men against boys.
Unbelievable. Now, all it took was just everybody. Like, and I don't know what's going on with Havanoff right now. He looked a little out of place. But yeah, we'll start with Friday. I'm getting off topic here. I wasn't at the Saturday night game. I wasn't at the Mooseheads game. I'd missed that game. But I saw the final score. I kind of kept an eye on the updates throughout the evening. And penalty trouble. Penalty trouble is what lost that game.
Yeah, that penalty by Capinello at the end of the second period. Just
not needed.
No. Like, 19:59 of the second period, you go in high, stick a guy in the face.
That was the cross check where he broke a stick, wasn't it?
That was the cross check in the corner.
Yeah.
Right.
They called it high sticking for some reason, but he broke a stick over and then looked at the ref like, what'd I do?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, your stick's in shambles. Like,
no need for that penalty. And I honestly believe that was the demise of that game. So, if you're John Torchetti, I almost called him Don.
I thought you were going to say Don Hay. I was like, whoa.
No, if you're John Torchetti right now, you say, okay, I got a solid, we'll say, 30 minutes in the first game. Took 20 minutes off in the first of the second game.
Yeah.
Played a great 40 minutes to close out. In fact, that's probably some of the best 40 minutes we've seen the Cats play in a long time.
That third period, they were
going. So I'm hoping that that's a build. So that's when I say, like, I'm going to give him a pass strictly because he was trying to juggle some lines. His top guys aren't there as far as a defense guy goes. You talked about Hudson being, you had no problem with him dropping the mitts the other day and this and that. You know, he's a talented offensive player. He levels out your lines, but at the same time, he's a physical presence on there as well. So overall, I'm hoping, because we've got two other big games coming up this weekend, and I think this is where you're going to see this team turn things around. Now, again, I called them winning 4 in a row, which was me being pleasantly. I blame Jeremy, because originally I said
they lost
to Halifax. Clearly his fault. But yeah, no, overall, I'm looking forward to it. I think this game against Charlottetown coming up, I think you're about to see Moncton beat Charlottetown for the second time in as many meetings. And then we got Halifax again. And I don't think Halifax is going to be ready for what Moncton is going to have. Plus, I do believe you'll probably see Jonathan Asper on the blue line.
In both?
I don't. I would suggest.
If you're guessing.
I would suggest if I was a betting man.
Another 4 days off.
I mean, unless. Yeah. No, he wants to play.
Yeah.
And Moncton needs him to play. Moncton needs their captain right now. They need leadership.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they need.
I mean, I saw a lot of good things this weekend. There's a few guys on this team that I'm very excited to watch them develop over the next few years. Like obviously Pelche, Spence, DeJong has been a really, really good FA pickup. If he can get a bigger role next year, he's going to be a very, very good free agent. But on this side of the fence, there's a few guys, and I'll be nice when I say this, but I'm excited for them not to be back next year. So. I'm obviously not going to mention any names, but I mean it's.
But why?
Well, look, it all comes back to what I said last week. I said, you know what? I might sound. Hey, you guys are playing at a higher level in hockey than I've ever even dreamed of playing. Right, so who am I to criticize? You know, junior hockey players. But
you're the media, bud. That's who you are. That's what they do.
Right. But there's a few players that, you know, they need to step up their roles. And it's, again, not going to mention any names, but it'll be nice to see younger players in their spots next year.
I find with a lot of it, like, watching, like, one guy I was really impressed with and since we got him was Antti. I found, like, he played an awesome game on Saturday night. I thought he was really good with the puck. He moved it really well. And like I thought he should have been like one of the like three stars from that game, because he did play that well, I found. And the game doesn't seem too big for him, but there are guys that guys from last year that you saw the effort with last year, and then this year they're dogging it all the time. You don't see the you almost wonder are they just gliding when they're skating? And it's like no, they just for some reason they just don't have that other gear where you know they have it. And it is frustrating as a fan to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, obviously there's a lot of good guys that you see through this team. Like you said, Spence, Peltz, you know, all these guys that, you know, have all this promise and have all this potential. And those are good to see. And then the Halifax game, like you said, that was just the end of that second with that penalty was terrible. And then that, you know, it just went off. The typical Wildcats third period for this season,
mm-hmm.
where they just couldn't hold on to it. And then, you know, I showed up late for the game on Sunday, but even that. I was showed up right about when the second goal was scored, yeah. And they started picking it up. But how many shorthanded goals have we given up this year with a puck we couldn't keep in?
So out of the line? Too many.
No, so
like there was another one, and that was the fourth goal for Bay Como, and it just sticks out to you. You're like, how come this seems like it's like every second game we're watching a guy score a shorthand goal against us?
Now, in Bay Como's defense, they lead they're the second leading team in shorthanded goals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think they've scored more shorthanded goals. Then, because Moncton's given up, I think, the most. I think Moncton's given up 13 or 14 shorthanded goals, and Bay Como was like tied for the amount of shorthanded goals they've scored.
Yeah.
It's foolish.
Yeah. It's just, it's frustrating when you think you just finally have that one last thing that could get you there, and all of a sudden it's just.
Well, it was the difference in the game. They don't give up that shorty, and it's
3-3,
right. And who knows? But you can see, like, they split the lines up, but when Torchetti wants something to happen, the big three get you reunited, and generally, something good comes out of that with Pelletz, McKenna, and Sear. It was good to see Denoyer back in the top six.
That's where he belongs.
I agree.
That kid has some great hands on him. Like, he's
when they had so agreed smooth. To move Kingsbury Fournier and then Anderson McDonald, or vice versa, whatever. The fact they're both gone, that should have been, like, Denoyer should have been in the top six. Like, right away, I mean, he should have been there from the get-go. I think you're going to see him in there now. I will tell you who, even though he didn't contribute a lot offensively over the weekend, I loved Ozzie King on the lineup this weekend. I was a big fan. He did the small things right. You mentioned Dan Palainen.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, I mean, everyone loves, we brought him in for his defensive capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
He started to chip in offensively.
Yeah. That power play goal he had up over
unbelievable.
Just a ridiculous shot. Yeah. That was a pro release.
Absolutely. Whoa, settle down. Settle down.
No,
Craig.
Seriously, though?
I know, I'm kidding.
Watch
I'm
it. Watch the goal.
I'm making fun of the lingo.
No.
That's something that our buddy Craig on the broadcast booth uses
come
it all
on.
The time.
Says pro release.
Pro release. I'm just kidding. I'm giving you a hard time. But yeah, no, I say about Antalainen, you're right, though. I mean, it was an unbelievable shot, and he plays such a defensive game. He fits right into Torchetti's system, and he is going to be a great defender. I would love to see him and Jordan Spence on a line together, like continuously. Would
you put them on the power play, number one, 100%. instead of having the four forwards, because we're giving up so many shorthanded?
No.
I know you wouldn't.
With it. I wouldn't have Havanoff as the point guy, but I don't mind the four forwards in a D-man.
Yeah, that needs to end.
Yeah. I don't, like I said, I'm a fan. Like, in a power play, offensive team doesn't even bother me. No, because you don't want to stack. You still need somebody on the second power play line, because offensively, I mean, our second PP unit doesn't look that hot, right?
No.
So you need some D in the back. But I like the four. I like the four forward concept.
I just thought to put Spence and Antalainen together on the power play.
But I would move Havanoff to the second power play unit. At this point, I think that you try to balance out the offensive scoring in the second power play.
So who'd you move up into it?
Denoyer? Maybe. Yeah.
Or give one of the bottom six, like Foreman or Ozzie King, get it, like reward them with.
I would love to see Kyle Foreman.
Just stand in front of the net and battle. Yeah.
I stand in front of the net. Denoyer in front of the net.
Absolutely.
Was it the Halifax game where he scored off the rebound in front of the net? Like, he's doing that as a 6 foot, 180 pound kid, right?
6 foot, 180 pound, 16 year old kid.
16 year old kid given a job to stand in front of a net, right? And then doing his job, right? Scoring on a rebound. Then you put Capinelli in front of the net Hudson in front of the net, and he's taking a puck off the face. Thanks to Capinelli's shot, right?
But although I will say, Cap, other than that penalty, man, like, I didn't mind. Cap played well this weekend.
He did.
Played well. Mm-hmm. It was an unfortunate situation. Bad penalty, wrong time.
Didn't he go at? Wasn't he sticking up for a teammate though? Didn't whoever he?
I don't know. I thought the puck was just in the corner.
I thought Halifax's guy kind of put. Yeah. I can't remember what defenseman into the boards. Well, you know that behind thing.
Kind of like turned off in the corner and kind of went to like kill.
And somebody hit him, so he came in to give him a cross check in the back and accidentally got him in the neck.
That was half his argument was.
But still,
it to him. But it's like, well, when you're standing there with two sticks, out of hand, it's not a good.
It's a it's a tough sell.
That was
a tough.
Yeah, it was hilarious. He just turned around and he's like, "What?" It's like I think that's what he was going for. I don't obviously think he was going to break a stick, but
no.
It was just a bad penalty, unfortunate timing, and it was ultimately their demise. Yeah. But overall, like I said, you take away the positives from it. We've spent the last couple weeks crapping on this team. Rightfully
so. You can see the change, though.
Rightfully so.
Have you noticed, like, anything better? I don't remember you guys, like, talking about how Like even strength, they just seemed like they were off, and obviously they've been struggling. Like at least I found they showed a little bit on even strength, even though a lot of their goals did come on the power play.
Well, that one shift with the top line, they just were cycling and going.
But
and
that's what your top line should do.
Right.
And that's what we got used to seeing at the beginning of the season. Yeah. But yeah, no, Eric, great question. And you know, if you look at it and say, what have I noticed? And that is they're finally, and again, cliche hockey responses, but they're getting the puck in deep. And they're going to get it.
Yeah.
Like they had a brief period. Well, that 20 minutes of Bakeomo, it was just pure trash.
Oh.
But after that was done, like they were establishing plays. Biggest key difference for there is I think the first period of that Bakeomo game. The biggest stat we talked about on TV that night was Bakeomo in the first period. I think went 14 for 16 in the faceoff circle. It was 12 for 16 or 14 for 16. The next two periods after that, between Havanoff, Capinelli, and Sear, they were winning draws. Monkton was starting with the puck. Look, you'll see a completely different team. They've had 2 full weeks to practice after this game, plus 2 weeks under Torchetti. Although, and Torchetti did a great article in the Times and Transcript, calling out his top guys.
Yeah.
Like, guys, enough's enough.
Yeah.
I understand I'm your new coach, but I've also been around the game a long time. And if you guys are just going to basically half-ass it, pardon my language, you're going to sit.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's get into that, because that was a good article. He said he was, you know, healthy scratch, whatever. You're going to sit if you're not playing. Who is he bringing up? Like, who would you bring up? And if you sit a top guy, you can't sit a bottom six guy, right?
It could be a number of guys, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at, I mean, uncharacteristically, and I don't think any of us has ever said this in the 2 years he's been here, but even Jacob Pelche was turning pucks over. Like, nothing made sense that game. Like, just sloppy backhanded passes to the middle of the slot. Havanoff, again, I don't know what the situation is with him right now. Something doesn't seem right because we're so used to the talent we've seen with him. One thing I'll say about him, his stupid penalties have come down tenfold. Like, the stupid ones. He's still taking penalties, but the stupid penalties have come down tenfold. But they're just, he looked like a stride behind everybody else over the weekend. And I don't know if, you know, maybe something's nagging him, something's bugging him. Something can't be right there. Cause he's got all the talent in the world. Maybe it's a new coach, new system. He's trying to figure it all out. I will be more critical after this weekend's over and he's had 2 full weeks with this system. And if he still hasn't figured it out, because it was a big deal. I mean, everyone kind of painted this kid with, I think a lot of people saw, oh my, another Russian that's a superstar wants to be here, and everybody automatically paints these guys like Ivan Barbashev, right? Yeah. Like, that's what everybody thinks.
And it's hard when you get used to watching Yaskin and Barbashev, and you watch those guys and what they did and how great they were for Moncton, and then all of a sudden, you know, you see a guy that doesn't give quite as much effort all the time, where Barbashev, that guy gave...
Well, Barbashev's a North American hockey player. That's how he plays the game.
I was going to say another cliche thing, but Barbashev used to give 110% every shift.
Right.
Like, he'd start every game off and he'd hit a guy in the boards, and that's what he did every game to kind of get himself going, and it made him that much better, right?
But go back to that Jeremy McKenna power play goal against Bakeomo, which side of the plate? That's Havanoff. That's the guy we know and love. The slap pass, beautiful vision. He sees McKenna wide open. And he finds a way to get it there.
McKenna looking like Obi or...
That's it, right?
Just waiting and waiting.
But that's where McKenna should be on the power play.
Without a question. He should be on his that off, dot every
off,
time.
On his off wing.
Absolutely.
Letting it rip.
Yeah.
That's where he should be. Right. There's no reason why he should be playing... I mean, obviously, right wing is his natural position.
But clearly, the coach also saw that.
Right.
Because this is the first time we've seen this in a while.
Yeah, sometimes McKenna's on the right side.
Because you're always seeing McKenna prior to Torchetti, or Torchetti, whatever it is.
Torchetti.
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 He had a combination of Torchetti and Pacioretty in there. That was beautiful.
But you saw it. He was on the right wing. He was doing the toe drag, trying to get it through bodies.
Yeah.
Right? Now he's playing on the left face-off dot, on his off wing, ripping it. That's where he should be. There's no reason why he shouldn't be.
I agree.
He should have been there from day one.
I agree.
So that's... And he's got two goals on Sunday against Bakeomo in that spot.
Same goal.
Yeah.
Same spot, same shot, same everything.
Ooh, well done.
They look good.
Like...
You are right, though. It's and Stamkos. That's where they score from.
Yeah. Stamkos, Ovechkin, they're all right-handed shots, all playing a left face-off dot on the power play.
But off wing, one-timer.
Look how successful they've both been.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, you need Spence up at the top, not Spence down in the right, and Havanoff up at the top.
You heard it. Coach Boucher says it best.
Exactly. Havanoff should be...
On the right side, making things happen.
Right.
Up Spence at the top. McKenna on his off wing.
The first McKenna goal was perfect because you have
Havanov
on the left, right boards.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got Sear on the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
Cross ice past McKenna.
And there were two or three other opportunities there, and Moncton could have scored again there. Yeah. I mean, there was other great chances. Very similar to that.
As long as it doesn't get too predictable, keep doing it. Like,
if you're putting pucks in the net. Like I said, I think you'll see a good team this weekend. I think you'll see the Moncton that we've known to love. Hopefully we can have Aspro back on the blue line.
So we've got Charlottetown and Halifax. Thoughts on those, other than we'll see a different team and we'll see a better team.
Do we know what Halifax's roster situation is like coming up for the weekend? Because did they have a full roster here in Moncton?
No, they were without Chaney.
They had a junior beat Kite defenseman in
they
there.
Had a couple,
he didn't
yeah.
play. He was okay. called up, but he didn't play.
Their backup goalie was from Amherst.
Yeah. No, he's from Cocaine, New Brunswick. No.
Playing for Amherst.
Playing for Amherst. yeah, they were without Kite because of the suspension.
Right, the Patty
Kite. They're without Rychek.
Chaney. They were without Rychek. They were without Trepanier. They were without Staffin.
McLaren.
Staffin's yeah. finally skating, I think, eh?
I don't know.
I don't know for sure, but again...
That's five of their top guys.
Right.
Right? So...
So will we see any of these guys this weekend?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, Patty Kite will be here for sure. Yeah. Unless he gets suspended somehow between now and Saturday.
You're suspended from your suspension.
They have a game, so...
Yeah, I'm not ruling it out. But yeah, no. But again, we kind of talked about it a couple weeks ago, and that was Halifax will go as far as Alexis Gravel will take them.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been flashes in the last week... That shows exactly why I made the comment I did.
Or if you see the game-winning goal against Chicoutimi that I gave up.
Yep.
Where it was just a wrist shot from the blue line. He juggled it, and the next thing you know, it was in the back of the net.
Right.
Yep.
And that was the game-winning goal in a 2-1 loss to Chicoutimi.
That's your Memorial Cup. Now, again, those games happen, but we've seen that more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, Alexis Gravel has also proven that he's good enough that at some point, if he's on... He's an MVP caliber goaltender.
Yeah.
But he's just inconsistent. So overall, I mean, at this point, I'm rooting for him because I know I don't have visions of aspiration of Moncton winning a President's Cup or a Memorial Cup this year. And I know that a lot of people are like, oh my goodness, you're in Moncton. You can't root for the Mooseheads at all. But I enjoy Halifax. I really do. I like watching good teams play hockey. And, you know, at that point, plus in the Maritimes, between them and Cape Breton, that's what I'm rooting for. Like, I'd rather see a team come out of the Maritime Division than I would anybody else. Like, I like watching Halifax play. And if Moncton's not going to get there, there's a good chance I could get on board the Moose bandwagon.
I was going to ask that.
It could happen. I'm not saying, I know Jeremy's not. He's
not doing it.
And I get it. And I respect your opinion for doing it. No, and I respect
it. The guys in the Hardcast, one of the early episodes I had, they asked that if it was, which would you rather cheer for, Baie-Comeau or Moncton in a Memorial Cup? Because they have the history of both. I would probably cheer for Halifax just because I don't have the hate
probably
being
so new.
I'm
going to go with CHL Player of the Week, Ethan Crossman, and Baie-Comeau Drakkar, who literally torched us for two on the weekend.
Yeah.
Last year, I didn't cheer for Bathurst once. I'm jealous because you get St. John that's got a Memorial Cup. You got Halifax that's got a Memorial Cup. You got Bathurst that's got a Memorial Cup now, right? And we're still sitting here. We were, you know, three goals away from winning one in 2006 when we hosted, right?
And against a team we beat in the President's Cup final.
Exactly. Right. But that's the beauty of the Memorial Cup, right? Yeah. We could beat them in a 7-game series, but in the Memorial Cup final, it's a 1-gamer.
Did you beat them in the round robin that year?
Yeah, we beat it. I think, like, didn't we?
I think so. Didn't we go 3-0?
It was a good team.
It was a very good team. I forgot, like, I don't even know what happened, but...
Dustin Slade, buddy. That's all that matters. Dustin Slade.
Rock and rodeo. But that's it. I'm just jealous.
Right.
Right? I just want one of those Memorial Cups. I want one of those banners. I want a parade. I want to get a tattoo. Like, it's...
Well, you can go get a tattoo now anyway and just make the prediction.
I don't know. Just get a tattoo in my body.
And be that guy that gets the prediction.
There's a bunch of Pats ones rolling through right now for the Super Bowl weekend. I mean, you might as well.
That's what it is, right?
Right.
And then you get, like, Cape Breton's got a super competitive team this year. I don't see them winning in the Memorial Cup. But, like, it's just... I get it, man.
Like, it's... And we will get one.
Yeah.
We will get one.
I just don't want to be 6 feet under when it happens.
We'll start taking care
of
yourself.
But if I'm 6 feet...
You when we're like moving on to the Avenir Center,
right? Like the next one. If I'm 6 feet under and Moncton's in a Memorial Cup final, for crying out loud, somebody better bring a goddamn TV, right? And the speaker and put it, face it in the ground so my lifeless dead body can at least hear what the hell is going on.
I like it. Nice.
I got you, fam. I got you. I got you.
So in other words, you're going to cheer for Q, like Rouyn-Noranda or Drummondville if they get it over Halifax.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's nothing against Halifax. It's just
it's everything against
Halifax. It's just pure jealousy is what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Okay, well at least you're honest about it.
Yeah.
What are you expecting out of this weekend there, Eric?
I'm hoping I think we're going to be PEI. I think we have to. I think, you know, you should expect to see McKenna, you know, score 2, maybe 3 goals. Same with Pelts, you should have a couple points. But I don't know if, you know, what else can you expect against Halifax? You know, now they're going to have possibly a more, you know, filled out lineup than what they had. That becomes a little harder. I guess you also got to wonder if, you know, does Leclerc play both games? Or like,
he has to.
Is he just going to play like every other game? Like,
I disagree. If you're going to give Lav finally a start, let him play Charlottetown. Let him play.
Yeah. But it's just like, if you don't have faith in him to come be our backup, then we should have gone and got somebody at the trade deadline to back up, because like he's not like, obviously you get something from like the practices, but I'm one of those guys and like I come from the, you know, if you're not playing the goalie, at least
send he almost air quoted that,
you know, like just send the guy down and like, you know, put him somewhere where he's actually going to get the starts so he can develop. It's almost like we're wasting him.
We're holding him back.
We're doing another Matthew Waite from last
year. I was just going to say, we talked about that earlier.
And I loved Waite. I thought Waite in that terrible season we had, Waite was like the one shining, like
him. Waite and Tomei both, man, they held their own considering the season. You're bang on. I felt bad for both goaltenders that year.
Yeah. And then last year he didn't get a chance, you know, and obviously he didn't play where he should have.
Grammett Bauer was playing well.
Exactly. But, you know, it's
I agree.
I think you have to kind of decide what you're going to do. But I think, you know, you probably go 1-1, unfortunately, because I think Halifax just is probably going to have our number. But I hope I'm wrong. And, you know, hopefully some of the guys, like I said, under another week under the new coach, or, you know, hopefully they come out to play.
I don't mind playing Lav against Charlottetown. My only issue is if he gets lit up again. When does he get trusted again?
Look, all I'm saying is you want to give Lav a chance, because Torchetti hasn't seen Lavallee in a game yet. So if you're going to give him a game, put him on a short leash. Like, what do you have to lose? Your season can't get any worse right now. It can't. What do you have to lose?
No, I just think that you
need to make sure Leclerc's 100% ready to go against Halifax.
Yeah, that's true. If they weren't back-to-back, yeah.
Right. Now, I will go out on a limb and I'll say it right now and forget the fact that I said
because they have another week off after two, yeah.
Right. I say Moncton wins both games this weekend. I really do. I believe Torchetti will have these guys ready to go. That's my theory. Maybe I'm an optimist.
No, maybe I'm an optimist. I mean, you get 10 days for 9 days
eventually
of practice.
I got to get this right. We're going to win two. Stats are on my side right now.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a big weekend from Dylan Seitz. I'm expecting a big weekend from Jordan Spence. The top line's going to produce. I think goaltending is going to be.
Would you put the three back together to start? Like, just right off the top, Mikael Panisier, let's go.
No.
No.
Didn't wait.
Just keep.
Dinoye deserves it.
So, not Pataki on that top line?
I was going to say, I moved Dinoye up to the top, to the second line to play with.
Like in Huddy's spot?
Was that?
In Huddy's spot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I would have Peltier and, Peltier, McKenna, and Pataki up front. Like that, and then I would move Dinoye to the second line to play with Havanoff and Sear.
Yeah, I can do that. I'm good with it. I like it. All right. Yeah. I'm going to bring something up here.
Yes.
So I've mentioned that I'm an avid reader of the message boards.
What?
I like to be a little I like to be positive when I post. But I also like to... Well, actually, I saw one this week that kind of caught my eye. So it was a post by Arnold Slick. So Arnold,
I was going to ask, is that a stage name, Arnold?
So I want you guys' opinion on this. So it Arnold's says,
like, long time listener, first time caller,
yeah, with a sweet Alpine jersey.
So it says, it's getting hard to enjoy going to the rink, knowing what a circus some of the decision making is off the ice. If they sold a couple veterans like Charlottetown and were putting in a good effort in a losing cause this weekend, I would be satisfied. Unfortunately, they added, and fans have every right to be upset with the results. This should have been a fun season. 13th overall Euro pick, new arena, non-contending but competitive team with fun players to watch. Somehow they've managed to mostly ruin it so far. Starting to feel more and more of a chore supporting this franchise. I truly hope Torchetti is given the leeway to try and fix this properly. What do you guys think about that?
I'll let Eric go first on this one. I'll let you take the reins on this, champ.
Yeah, I see. What he's doing, he's trying to think of his thoughts, and I have to go first now.
He's not wrong.
He's the seasoned pro.
Yeah. I somewhat understand where he's coming from, because it is frustrating, especially once again we had a hot start. So you do get your hopes up, and you do see all what could be, and then you have the Lacoute thing, so we don't get that pick. You go through all the other stuff, but. I think if they're going in the right direction, I think the leash was just a little too long for Rumble last year. And I think, as much as I love to see, I went to Rimouski for that game 7. I watched them beat Rimouski in their own barn. It was awesome. But that also brought us another year of Rumble. Because it was like, oh, well, look what he did. He outmatched them. He shut down Lafreniere. Like, they did a good job. But I just think that, they should have made the choice to get rid of him. That would be my only real big issue. And then, like I said, maybe bringing in another goalie to compete with Leclerc instead of... Because if they're not going to play the kid, that's my big thing. But other than that, I don't think any of the other moves they've done are a bad move. So, but other than that, like I said, I understand where he's coming from, because it does get frustrating to watch all these close games and third period collapses and, go on and on and on. But, it's hockey at the end of the day too, so...
My thoughts are this, and that is, Arnold's opinion is very valid. I would assume, based off his context and his tone, sounds like Arnold Slick is a season ticket holder.
Close to 4,000 posts on the board.
That's what I mean. And he talked about supporting the team and supporting the franchise, so clearly he's been around a long time. Does he have a right to be frustrated? Absolutely he does. To this day, and Jeremy, we talked about this last night, the 13th overall Euro pick for me, that's still a huge problem. Moncton messed up by not taking that 13th overall pick in the import draft. And I know that you're going to sit here, and it worked out well that Simon Lacoulte had a great start to the season, but at no point should he have been here to start the year. At no point. For two reasons. One, if you were trying to base it, maybe somebody saw something in him that the rest of us didn't. But ultimately, you knew you had a chance at the 13th overall import pick. You had a shot. You knew Hovanov was coming back for a full healthy year after getting drafted in the third round by the Minnesota Wild. He was your guy. There was a guy, you've got your scouts in place. Now, again, Moncton had a turnover in staff and head count, and there were some issues there. But there is no reason, and I mean absolutely no reason, why you don't make that pick. 13th overall. Think about that for a minute.
Yep.
Do you know what kind of talent we could have with a 13th overall European pick? Very good. Very good. But as far as Arnold's post goes, just be patient, Arnold, is all I'm going to say. A little bit longer. Because, I've got all the faith in the world in Torchetti. He talked about, he made the statement in regards to, I hope that Torchetti is given the reins to do this. I believe he has been. And again, it's all rumors and all speculations, but anytime you hear people talking around the rink about GMs or coaches or people who were offered or interested in the job. And I don't think it's a huge secret to know that, the president of this hockey team, Mr. Irving, he wants to win. He really does.
He said it 17 times.
That's what I mean. In his little press conference. And you will not find a more passionate owner in the game.
No.
Now, there's good and bad that comes with that. So, you can't tell me any other junior hockey rink up until this year when now he's not there anymore. But how many other places do you have the president of the hockey team behind the bench over the glass talking to the players? That doesn't happen anywhere. But again, it's all passion. And if you catch Mr. Irving around the rink, he's the first guy. He'll grab, he'll take kids out. He'll take them into the boutique.
Yeah, he's walking around the candy bars. And, right. He's giving it up. But
there's, and if you play for this man... the expectations are huge because he is giving you the world. He's giving you a professional NHL treatment as a player. So I'm truly believing that if John Torchetti came on in and took this job, you have to think, because he's the coach and the director of hockey operations, that he is given the reins to do what he has to do. Now, are we going to have a problem with the draft? Yeah, we are. So I'm hoping it gets addressed soon, because on a year that we were supposed to be, as he mentioned it, competitive and where things were supposed to go, we now have 7 or 8 19-year-olds going into a year where, let's be real, they're going to try to win next year. Next year's the year they were going to try to win. When the season started this year, that was the talk. Not Mem Cup year. They weren't going to spend the assets to get it. Thankfully, in fact, again, I think we talked about it on the show. Thankfully, they went on the skid they did before Christmas. Otherwise, this team would be all in, and we'd have no team next year. Noah Dobson would be in Moncton. Or a P.O. Joseph would be in Moncton. Had Moncton kept that winning streak up when they did, we'd have no future. So, at the end of the day, I'm going to refrain judgment. I'm going to let Arnold, my opinion on this, Arnold, is give it a couple weeks. You know, let John Torchetti run his system for a couple weeks. I do believe you'll see this team turn around. You can just see it. There's flashes of what this team's capable of under his system. But his thoughts and opinions are very valid. We've all felt that at some point. I'm glad he had the opinion to address his thoughts. Anyways, but I know you strongly agree with it too, Jeremy.
I did. I mean, the only thing I can really say about it is when he says, you know, selling some veterans like Charlottetown.
Without a question.
Right? But you don't want to undersell them, right? You're not going to make these trades if you don't get the right offer.
This is the year the Memorial Cup was in the QMJHL. There's no reason why you can't trade a couple veterans for absolute ransom. So again, if the deals weren't there, and we weren't in Richie's shoes at the time, we have no idea. You know, I'm not taking these calls. So maybe the deals weren't right.
Cool. Well, who would have got traded? Like, who would you, like, Sevast probably?
No,
but what would his value be? Like, yeah. If you're going to trade guys, my guess would have been, I'm glad they're all here, but your options were wide open. I mean, you could have traded a guy like Jeremy McKinnon.
True.
You could have traded a guy like Mika Seer. I mean, you're obviously not going to trade Peltier, but, you know, these are the types of things that you look at. Again, as a fan, I'm glad they didn't, because I love watching these, but also as a fan, I would like to know that we're setting ourselves up to win. And in this year, like McKenna or Sear probably could have caught you a king's ransom. I'm surprised Dylan Seitz, some team who's trying to win right now, he would be a huge addition for them. But again, as a guy who loves Dylan Seitz, I'm so glad he's still here.
Has Moncton ever done the full junior hockey cycle? Like from 2010 to where you're not very good? You know, like...
Well, the year they were... So after that Mem Cup year,
yeah,
that was the year they were supposed to be a train wreck.
Right, and they weren't.
Hugh and John Torchetti, who came in after that year, took that team who was supposed to be terrible and finished fourth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? The kids love to play for him. He's a hard-nosed coach.
It's some of the things, like not being here for more than a year almost.
Right. Which, by the way, your one-year anniversary coming to Moncton was today.
Yeah, today, 365 days ago, I was on the road.
Beauty.
Yeah.
Anyways, but no, Arnold, absolutely. I think he has every right to be frustrated. You know, keep voicing your opinion, but my advice would be just stay patient. I think good things are going to come in the next week or two.
If we had drafted the 13th overall pick, what was the likelihood they were coming? Like, is it a...
When it comes to Euro, it's like you have an agreement.
Yeah,
right?
You're not drafting unless you know
he's coming. Okay, I don't know this stuff. I was the only one on LeCoupe bandwagon, whatever, but we needed the experience.
But and you think
Well, look how much better he played, and look how much better the team was when he was in the lineup. Not saying it was all him, but if he didn't have the shoulder injury and was still here, what does this defense corps look like? Are we even talking about the 13th overall pick on the trajectory that LeCoult was on?
I will say it right now. I like Antalainen more than Simon LeCoult. I think he's a better defenseman, without a question.
Okay.
Now, I miss Simon, because you're right. He had a great start to the year.
Yeah. I just wonder how much of this is from the shoulder, the juniors, the going to the Swiss Pro League. Now people are like, well, we should have taken the pick. But when we didn't, and we were 19-0-1 or whatever it was, people were on board with Simon LeCoult.
I found LeCoult had a good shot, and he scored those couple goals. But to me, I found the guy was like a turnover machine. Like, he drove me absolutely, like him and
one that of was a friends, common theme.
Chad. He just, like, he'd lose his mind, and it's just because you watched every game.
Well, last year he was good for at least one goal against a game.
Yeah.
At least one.
Like, anytime you're on the ice, he was on the ice, you almost felt as if you were at a bakery because, you know, cooking up a fresh batch of turnovers, right?
And it's not wrong. You're right.
No. Yeah. And that's what I felt.
And he plays on that edge. And then I remember hearing while he was gone, to the juniors, and they were saying, well, the Swiss program is really showing they don't care about turnovers. You got to take those extra chances. I'm like, that's Lacoute. That is him.
He was able to be on the, slot guys in where they belong. Because he could play with Sylvester. Spence was playing with Aspro. TDJ and Stewart were playing on the ball. And it allowed these guys to learn without getting too many minutes.
13th overall.
Yeah. Right.
The main thing I think a lot of them didn't realize at the time is nobody realized how good Spence was going to be. That's also something that makes it
a everybody in harder. Summerside would beg to differ.
And I saw him like the first game was like, that guy is good. I like him.
Which
you can just tell. But it was
broke the record over the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you worry. You'll hear his name a little later on.
Yeah. All right. No, everything he says is 100%
but he's bang
true.
On.
Yeah.
And I mean, as a season ticket holder, as a fan, and I think I said this before, the season ticket holders are these people who buy the tickets. They have every right to voice their opinion on how this thing's going. They're paying their hard-earned money to see this team. I just say that because we just had this coaching change, people were expecting an instant turnaround. And I think people were...
And especially after the Cape Breton game where they got the win, it was like...
As soon as Josh Heptich took over interim for a couple games, I mean, the schedule has not been easy at all. This is a tough time of year other than timing. Timing's good because you get a lot of time off. But other than that, schedule has been an absolute nightmare. They've proven they could beat Baie-Comeau. They could have beaten Halifax.
Well, they did. Yeah, they're 1-1 against Baie-Comeau.
Well, yeah, on that weird Jacob Pelche goal. That's how they won that last
one. True.
And on the road.
Yeah.
But I mean, at home, which is how many teams can you say are a better road team than a home team? I mean, that's crazy all in itself. But overall, right now, this Moncton squad showed 40 minutes. The last 40 minutes is what I'm expecting to see them come flying out with against Charlottetown for the first 40 minutes. And if they don't play 60 minutes against Charlottetown, I honestly believe that somebody in that locker room is getting sacrificed. I truly believe it. Because John Torchetti has seen enough, and it's only been a week and a half. That's my answer. Arnold Slick, great comment. Jerry,
bank
thanks
it.
For reading it.
That's it.
All right.
Yeah, we're good.
All right.
Let's move on to the...
Let's get to the sponsored by Eric Murray Realty, the cat of the week.
Well, first and foremost, we got to thank the new sponsor. So thanks, Eric, again. We're super honored to have you here, man. It's wicked.
Thanks, boys.
Love having Wildcat fans come on in and have this conversation with us. I said you'd hear his name again. You got to go with rookie defenseman Jordan Spence. He's my cat of the week. He had 3 assists over the weekend, breaking the all-time Moncton Wildcat rookie defenseman point record, beating Dan Mylan.
Stylin' Mylan.
There's still 19 games to go, which is absurd.
Yeah.
Absurd.
So what's a number you predict? That he finishes with?
50 points. I was going to say 51. That's where my head's at. 51 points.
56.
Ooh, well, that's an aggressive 19 games.
Dude.
Eric?
I'm probably thinking right around the same, like the 50.
He's like 74.
He's going to catch McKenna.
180.
What's the Q record? So like I said, he's such a poised individual. Like for being as young as he is, the game never looks too big for him, which is something you would never expect out of a rookie defenseman.
Still hard to believe he got passed over in his first draft.
I don't understand.
And the first round.
I don't understand.
First draft and then again the first round.
First draft passed over.
First round.
Second draft goes in the second round.
Well, funny thing, Bathurst wanted to take him in the first round last summer.
Right.
But he wouldn't report there.
Yeah.
So they took the glorious Ben Rood instead.
Great name, by the way.
Yeah.
Rood. Anyways, congratulations, Jordan Spence. You are the Eric Murray Realtor Moncton Wildcat of the Week.
I like that. All right. Fans know it and they love it. Stick tap of the week.
I was actually going to give you the first one.
The jilted stick tap of the week.
The audible here. But I've actually got 2 stick taps of the week. So the first one, anyone who knows me well knows that I'm a huge fan of curling.
Right.
So my first stick tap of the week would go to the men's and women's teams who will be representing New Brunswick at the Brier and the Scotties.
Cool.
So we got Team Odishaw out of the Curl Moncton Club just down the street here from Wildcast Studios, consisting of Skip Terry Odishaw, Jordan Pinder, Mark LeCocq, and Grant Odishaw. They'll be in Brandon, Manitoba for the Brier. And on the ladies' side, I must say, this is a good-looking group. Team Crawford out of the Thistle, St. Andrews, Andrea Crawford, Jillian Keough, even though I know her as Jillian Babin, before she went off and got married, of course. Jennifer Armstrong and Katie Ford. Second stick tap of the week. Big, big props to the International House of Pancakes. Otherwise known as IHOP, for deciding on Moncton, of all places.
For the record, you know that it is strictly only IHOP now. It's not even called the International House.
I will call it whatever I want to call it.
You remember when they tried the burger?
Your stick top. It's all good. Yeah, that's right. The IHOP.
The IHOP.
Yeah. Everybody freaked out about that.
That lasted 48 hours.
So,
looking for management right now.
Yeah. So I've actually... I can't believe they decided on Moncton as their first location in Eastern Canada. But we'll be owned by the Corey Craig Group, which is interesting because they're opening the Hyatt Hotel right next to the Avenir Center. So you think it's going to be there? Maybe. We'll see. So me and the missus went to the location in Niagara Falls on one of our first dates. And I remember saying to her, I said, I would quit any job I had to work at IHOP if they ever opened in Moncton.
So they called your bluff.
Let's see if he'll do it.
Yeah.
So here I am. I got a decision on my hands.
It's going to shock their...
So if you're listening, employer, consider this my 2-week notice.
Could you shock the heck out of us to walk in there? Welcome to IHOP. Could Boucher? Serious?
Welcome to the International House of Pancakes. So yeah, very excited to stuff my face with some New York cheesecake pancakes.
Oh, it's a Cinestack. The Cinestack is where it's at.
I got to go cheesecake pancakes. Get in my belly. That's my stick tap of the week.
Hey, you know what?
Those are good ones.
That's a good one. Because you are right. I was blown away when
IHOP, man. IHOP. Like, I don't care. Tell me what day they're opening. I'm booking that day off work. I'm camping out outside. I'm first in line.
Fast. You won't have to camp, but
you're fasting the day before, so you can load up.
Man. Do you honestly think they'll put it in the Hyatt, though? That seems like a bizarre place to put it in the IHOP.
What they're talking about, the development of downtown Moncton over the next few years, I think it'd be a pretty good spot. Either that or by the new Costco. Like, but also,
I don't know if I'd put it way out
there.
I heard that
somebody was down there looking toward the Cabela's way too, right? Because Cabela's is about to close down, right? So like, why not put an IHOP down there? Put it right next to Cora's to go toe to toe with Cora's down there.
They want
Mapleton.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Cora's,
that's where Cabela's is down there on Cabela's Lane or something.
Yeah,
like
Cabela Way.
It just seems like an odd spot.
Empty building for the last whatever.
It's been empty since I got here.
It just seems like an odd location.
Right, like, but it would be such an odd place to put an IHOP. Traffic would be brutal. You'd have no place to park. See what I did there?
But I can see him getting the hotel people.
Go downstairs to the IHOP. Hotel traffic? You think people are going to go to the guests of the Crown Plaza are going to go to T-Bones for breakfast and they got an IHOP across the street? Freaking no.
Look, man, I get it. You're
a hotel war.
I get it. Either way, I'm excited too, man.
No, that's...
I just don't get to do the stick taps. I'm excited.
All right.
IHOP! Kangaroo's favorite restaurant, eh? IHOP?
That should have been the dad joke. Book ends the show with dad jokes. Let's go to overtime.
Welcome to Overtime.
There's a pretty big football game this weekend.
Are we really... Is our overtime period on the Super Bowl?
No, I just want your picks.
Oh, thank God.
No, I just want your picks. Like picks and scores.
Patriots, only because I'm a Patriots fan. 35-27.
I'll let you go.
I can't stand the Patriots.
Nobody can stand the Patriots.
I did put money on them.
Of course. They're New England.
I won money off them a lot last week, so it's all good. But yeah, they're 34-24, probably. It's just Belichick's, just that's what it is.
You're right.
Yeah.
I absolutely loathe New England. I hate Patriots fans. I can't stand, but there's no denying that Tom Brady is the greatest, not even quarterback, but football player in the history of the National Football League. He is the GOAT. I saw a comment today on my Facebook page. In fact, I shared a picture today,
yep,
which absolutely blew my mind. And I'm going to read it right now, and that is, Tom Brady has made it to the Super Bowl 50% of the seasons he started at quarterback. Now let me compare this to you. Stephen Curry, his career field goal percentage is 47.8%. Tom Brady is more likely to make it to the Super Bowl than Steph Curry is to make a basket.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. Now, is it? It's a flawed stat, and I get it.
Yeah.
But we're witnessing greatness. Do I think that Tom Brady's going to get hit this weekend? Absolutely, because that D-line is unreal.
That's the biggest key.
He's going to get hit.
Yeah, and the pressure's not coming from the edge where he can you know, step up and get rid of it real quick. It's,
no.
It's coming from the middle.
But New England wins this football game, and I do not think it's going to be an offensive juggernaut. I think that it's going to be a tightly defensive played game. I say New England wins this game. I'm going to go 20-14.
I'm taking the Rams.
You would.
I just think their D-line is going to control the game and the running game is going to control
it. I'm hoping they do. Like,
everybody's hoping
and I'm thinking 31-28.
Yeah. Other than, you know, the Patriot fans.
Like, Jared Goff does not take the Rams to the Super Bowl. Hold the Vince Lombardi trophy. Doesn't do it.
Did you think Philadelphia Nick Foles was going to hold the Super Bowl trophy last year, though, either?
I actually bet on the Eagles last year.
Did you?
So yeah, okay. Of course. Well, that's because I hate Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That was a good bet.
Yeah.
The odds are there.
I just think that two-headed monster now with Anderson and Gurley and that defensive line. Tom Brady hasn't been hit this playoffs, but he hasn't played enough a defensive line like this one.
The difference maker in this Super Bowl is the same guy who made the difference in last week's game against KC, and that is Rob Gronkowski blocking for Tom Brady on the other side as well. He will be the difference maker, making key plays when he has to. Julian Edelman's going to make a big difference. Imagine how good this team would still be if Josh Gordon wasn't an idiot.
Yep.
Think about that.
Yep.
People can complain about it all they want. Right. Well, it's legal in like most states and blah, blah. But he's got other demons other than that. And the real big thing is, you know the rules. You know you're not allowed doing it. Just abide by them.
Right. And it's too bad because he's a hell of a talent. And it's not like he's doing like terrible things either, right? Like, because, I mean, you saw what he was capable of. But ultimately, sounds like three out of the four of us are taking New England to win the Super Bowl.
All right, so from the Herd, it was the Herdcasts. They're weak this week. So, you know, with the Royal Rumble, I believe Stroh was in a wrestling mood. Who was your favorite WWF superstar as a kid, as well as your favorite heavyweight champ, intercontinental champ, tag team champ? For me, my favorite superstar as a kid was Shawn Michaels, and he was my favorite intercontinental champ. Tag team... I like Demolition. No, sorry, Legion of Doom.
Oh, yeah.
Hawk and Animal. That would be mine. Favorite champ, was there anybody better than Stone Cold?
No.
Like, those would be my three.
Favorite superstar, I have to say Stone Cold. Favorite tag team of all time, probably Doink and Dink the Clown.
I respect it.
I love it.
We never knew who that was either.
No, we don't. One of them's dead, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both of them, maybe?
I don't know. One for sure.
Like, I know Kane was the dentist, Isaac Yankum.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But nobody knows Doink. Anyways, keep going.
Wasn't Kane like IRS too?
No. But did you know that IRS is the father to Bray Wyatt?
No, I did not know
that. He was Husky Harris in the NXT days.
Oh, I didn't know that. Favorite Intercontinental Champion? I got to go with The Miz. Like, he's held it, like, so long. Like, it's... And he's just a perfect, like, Intercontinental Champion. Like, he's not, like, a heavyweight guy.
Yeah.
But he's a mid-card guy, and he can play a face and a heel better than anybody in the business. Favorite heavyweight champ? Stone Cold. Yeah. And anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Mine. I grew up I'm 30.
We're all 30.
Yeah, exactly. Mine was Chris Jericho. I loved Chris Jericho. I thought he was awesome.
YDJ,
exactly. Fozzy. You know, you go.
You just made the list. Did you go see Fozzy when they were here?
I did not. No, I screwed up.
I wanted.
I screwed up.
Sorry, I didn't mean like that.
One of my favorite, like he was awesome. I thought he was really a technical wrestler and all that other good stuff. Stone Cold though, like you watch all those old, like you'll get the clips on Facebook and it'll be Stone Cold and The Rock and all those guys and their promos and you're just like, It was so good back then. Like those were the days. The Attitude Era was just the days. For tag teams, I always liked the Hardy Boys. They're just
high flying,
jumping off.
Team everything. Extreme with Lita. Just
everything, exactly.
What a hussy she was.
Eh? Oh. She went never at the end of it. But she was also one of my favorite because she was Lita. She was actually jumping off. Like she was actually,
right.
She was like one of the only female wrestlers at the time. I'm like now, but she was one of the only ones that would actually do a lot of the big stunts and stuff.
Sure.
So, yeah.
And then I said Y2J, and then they said Stone Cold probably for the heavyweight, him or The Rock. The Rock was just either one. If you heard the glass break or you heard, you know, can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Either one of them, you got off your seat because they were just that good. So,
I also, favorite WWE superstar of all time, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't think it's even close. Nobody changed the game like he did. As far as a tag team, I'm going with the Rockers because I'm older than that. You talked about Shawn Michaels, big Marty Jannetty fan back in the day. I am going to give
the barbershop scene.
Man, it was amazing. Oh, game changer. I'm going to give an honorable mention to the Mega Powers for their brief tag team situation. Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior were unbelievable. Intercontinental Champion, the Ultimate Warrior. My favorite as far. And what was the last one?
Intercontinental tag team favorite champ, and then just your favorite superstar as a kid.
Yeah, Stone Cold. And I wasn't really a kid. I was like 17. I was a big Shawn Michaels fan. I was a huge Rockers fan growing up too, right?
But those Monday nights in the early 90s, 2000s, you didn't know which one. Raw, Nitro, you were flipping back and forth and back and forth. But
think about it, though. Go back to when, like, you know, the big who's who. I mean, even back to Eric Bischoff's days of writing too. Like, nobody could write like he could.
No.
He was a game changer.
Yeah.
From
a guy that just started announcing and just walked into writing and used Ted's pocketbook, but
now at the end of the day, I don't follow wrestling like you guys do today.
No Royal Rumble thoughts?
None. I didn't even watch it.
I saw it on Snapchat. I saw what was happening. I found out who was winning and stuff.
Right. Now, I was a huge wrestling fan until about 7 to 8 years ago. Like literally just fell off the map. I became a huge UFC guy at that point. Which again is now just as trashy as ever, right?
Like, yeah.
Overall, I'd have to go. I'd say I don't even think it's. I think Stone Cold Steve Austin will go down as like one of the greatest promo guys of all time.
Oh, yeah. Story him and The Rock.
Him in it. Yeah. Oh, right. I mean,
for promos, him, The Rock, and The Miz. Edge. I would put Edge and Jericho as the top five.
You gotta put Hulkamania in there, and you got to go Ric Flair because Ric Flair
game changer.
Yeah, like he still gets quoted, and he's still Ric Flair.
Best also, wrestling match of all time, though, still has to be the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah,
Mankind, the Undertaker, Hell in a Cell has to be
getting thrown off.
Has to be.
Ugh.
One of the best pay per views ever was SummerSlam '92 in London, British Bulldog versus Bret Hart.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say the Owen Hart thing.
No.
That's devastating.
No, that match was unbelievable. Did you stay up for the whole Royal Rumble?
I fell asleep for the. Had a nap.
He says.
Had a nap. 5.5 hours
during the Brock Lesnar Finn Balor match, and then woke up for the Men's Rumble.
I made it to number 26. Fell asleep and woke up just before it ended.
I have a huge problem with Brock Lesnar.
Everybody does.
Brock Lobster.
That's it.
Brock Lobster.
I don't get it, man.
I'm glad he's leaving after WrestleMania.
Pick a sport. Deal with it.
I thought he was supposed to fight Cormier.
I did too.
Like, I thought that's the only reason they were keeping the belt on him was to fight Cormier so he could have two belts.
I don't know. Whatever.
It's one of those things. It's he's just going to take one more, like, kidney shot again, and he's going to go down because he can't take any of the shots.
I think we should all just honor Frank Mir for what he did.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're good.
All right. So that's we'll put the IC champs because I think we all agree Stone Cold is one of the better ones. For favorite heavyweight, so for the poll, we'll do the intercontinental
skin belt was the beautiest thing ever.
Yes,
beauty.
All right, well, that's going to be it for us. Again, thanks, Eric, for being the first sponsor and being on tonight's episode. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
How can people get a hold of you?
I got a Facebook page. You can check me out there, Eric Murray Real Estate Associate. I'm on Instagram too, just Eric Murray Realtor. Kind of both of them. You kind of get a little bit of everything. But yeah, if you have any questions or you just give me a call, 863-8802.
Heard he's slashing his rates on anybody's calling right now.
Buy a house for use the promo code Wildcast.
Wildcast for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah. We don't know what it'll get you, but use the promo code Wildcast for the next 15 minutes.
All kidding aside, man, thanks again for doing this, brother. We truly appreciate it.
Before we get out of here tomorrow, Wednesday, January 30th, is Bell Let's Talk Day.
Yes.
Tweet. Hashtag Bell Let's Talk. Every text message, mobile, long distance call made. Use the hashtag Bell Let's Talk on every message. Facebook, Snapchat, whatever. Bell donates 5 cents to mental health. You never think it's going to happen to you till it happens to you. And if anybody needs anything, reach out to any of us no matter what.
Can I just touch on something real
quick? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I will say this is somebody who battled through mental health problems. It is absolutely massive. And anybody who knows me has known me for a long time. Obviously, 50% of the people of this podcast work for Team Red. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than Red versus Blue here. This is such an amazing initiative that Bell does every year. Just get involved. I love, again, the money's coming either way, but like you said, it's not about the money. It's about the stigma that comes with it. And, you know, Michael Landsberg, who is a huge perpetuate, he's a huge advocate of this thing. Don't ever hesitate to reach out. If your day's not going well, I don't care if you're having a bad day, reach out to me on Twitter. Send me a Facebook message. Again, I've been there. I know how you feel. Anybody's there to take your call. My phone's always on. But yeah, it's such a great, great initiative by Bell. I love this. I love this day every year.
Yep.
Just before we go, just want to send out best wishes to former Wildcats defenseman and Aigle Bleu defenseman Simon Jourdain.
Ooh.
So, he's actually put up a GoFundMe page for himself. So December 6, 2016, it says he suffered a concussion that, you know, disrupted his life. Ever since that day, his life hasn't been the same. Daily symptoms of migraines, dizziness, headaches, blurred vision, tension in the neck, all that. Plus, we had an open heart surgery in you know, December 13, 2017. So there's a GoFundMe page that's been set up. I don't know if we can maybe get it on the Twitter profile or not there, Adam, but...
I'll try and figure it out, yep.
$30,000 goal in 24 hours, he's got $28,000. So, and that included a $5,000 donation from his defensive partner here in Moncton, David Savard. And there was actually two other $5,000 donations, but obviously both of them were anonymous. So this has been circling around for about... I've been following this since the start of the day. So if you can donate to that, obviously we'd obviously see Simon and would really appreciate it. So
he's one of the most upstanding guys.
Yeah,
too. Simon is a great guy.
He's actually the only Wildcats player who I've had his jersey.
Okay.
So I've never he was my favorite player in 2010. So I went out and I got his I think they did like a was it an Acadian thing?
Mm-hmm.
The Acadian jersey thing. So I got his jersey. So
was that the blue ones?
Yeah. So I've only had one Wildcats jersey in my life. It was a Simon Jourdain jersey. So I will see about getting this up on our Twitter page and our other social media channels to see if we can get some additional donations to help out Simon.
Perfect.
I just got a quick text. I want to give a quick shout out on a more positive note to end the show. I want to give a huge shout out to Carly Jackson from Amherst, Nova Scotia. She just became the winningest goaltender in Maine Black Bears history. With 33. Yeah, she's unreal. Anyways, big shout out goes to Carly. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thanks again for listening, guys. If you want to follow the show, you can on all the social medias, Moncton Wildcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Tomorrow's Bell Let's Talk Day. Please tweet as much as you can and don't hesitate to shout out to us if you need anything. See you guys next week.